This episode was recorded in September 2020. Apologies to everyone, especially our guest, for the delay in editing. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Aneurysm, the top text podcast about memes, internet culture, and all that bullshit. Today, there's something absolutely exceptional. I know what episode number this is. This is episode 31, and we are receiving a great guest, another great guest, the painter Pepe Langelo from Russia. I'm gonna let you introduce yourself, say a few words, whatever you think is relevant.
Я буду сегодня говорить на русском. Потому что так я
The translation will be in first person, so I'll talk in Russian today. As you understand, I'll be translated, and I'm hoping to have a fun time.
First question: what made you want to start doing paintings, like classic paintings, with Pepe the Frog?
Вы хотите короткий ответ или длинный ответ?
Do you want the short answer or the long answer?
Well, the long, because this is a long show, so let's go.
The thing is that I didn't have the opportunity to get higher education after school, as usually. And I was for a long time searching for my thing and tried many things out. At first I was a journalist and then I was working at a high-end perfume shop and like really in-depth dealing with the history of perfumes and all that.
Okay.
And after that happened that I became a co-owner of a little illegal wine bar.
Nice.
That's very cool.
And after that, as we all know, Crimea became ours, as in Russian, so ruble devalued and I couldn't deal with wine anymore because it was bought with euros. And I had something like a depression and I didn't know what to do after that and I needed a reason to go outside. And I remembered that a customer in my wine bar said to me that she's an art teacher for kids and also I had some art installations in the bar.
Cool.
Cool.
And I thought that I'll go to her and learn from her painting, because I didn't know what else to do. And when I started painting, it didn't come out good, and she gave me these exercises paint a still life or a cube, and everything came out badly.
Great.
Я вот сейчас хочу подчеркнуть, что это именно рисунок, что это не живопись. То есть, как положено, начинается с рисунка без цвета, и вот это у меня не получалось абсолютно.
Рисунок, живопись.
Drawing.
Yeah, it was not painting per se, it was more drawing.
Okay.
And I understood that I don't have enough capabilities to draw in black and white at start, so she gave me an exercise to paint in color and came out a great still life. And at that time I didn't have any money, so I thought that it would be a great idea to draw paintings as gifts for my friends. So I came up with an idea to draw the Pepe the Sad Frog, as I was spending a lot of time on 2chan, Dvash, Russian. Yeah.
Ну, в общем, и так совпало, что моя бабушка подарила мне холсты, на которых она...
So my grandmother, she gifted me canvases, and on one of the canvases was a picture of Christ, because she herself is really religious.
И она сказала, я слышала, ты начала заниматься живописью, можешь замазать сверху, нарисовать, что хочешь.
I heard you started painting, so you can paint over and paint anything you want.
I see what this is going.
И, собственно, моя первая картина ПП в костюме Филиппа II, на самом деле под ней рисунок головы Иисуса, который сделала моя бабушка.
So my first painting is Pepe the Frog as Philip II, but underneath is a painting of Jesus' head.
И вторая причина – это чтобы научиться хорошо рисовать.
To be a great, good painter, you have to copy the masters, the old
yes.
masters.
Yes.
And the second thing is that you need to start from some plain shapes, and the human's head is very complicated for the young artist. So better to start with from something. Not so difficult, so I just copy the costume of Philip II and then add Pepe the Frog head because it is not so complicated like human skull,
yeah.
you know?
Yes.
Because it consists of plain shapes.
Yes. How long ago was that? When did you start painting Pepes?
Я думаю, 4 года назад, может быть, 5.
4, maybe 5 years.
Okay. Do you still look a lot like at memes, like on the internet, on 2chan or... Whatever.
Я редко захожу на 2ч,
но rarely go to 2chan, but I am subscribed to 2chan's owner's Telegram channel, so I feel like I'm still part of the community.
Oh, great. That leads into the question that we always ask our guests. What is your favorite meme, like of the moment? Your favorite recent meme, the one you like the most?
Ну, а вы сами как думаете?
What do you think yourself?
I don't know. Recently
Мое сердце навсегда принадлежит ПП.
My heart is only for ПП, for always.
Okay, like Buffy and Angel. Stephanie, did you have a question you wanted to ask a guest?
Yeah, I actually wanted to know, do you remember your first exposure to Pepe? Like what it was that, what meme it was that sort of got Pepe to work his way into your heart?
I think it's the classical sad Pepe. For the most part, I'm coming back to that picture of Pepe where he's committing harakiri and he's in a haiku.
It's a funny combination, memes and art, because art can be deeply spiritual, whereas memes can be quite funny and lighthearted and not really have to have any meaning at all. But did you mentioned you were in a bit of a depression. Did you maybe see a bit of yourself in that sad frog and decide to paint it out? Was it a form of therapy?
Господи, конечно, да, это очевидно.
Jesus, of course, yes.
I mean, obviously, you're, copying some of the greatest artists that have ever lived and some of the greatest artworks that have ever lived. So how long do you usually put into one of these artworks? Like, how long does it take you to replicate these pieces?
The time it takes depends on the size of the painting and on the difficulty. It also depends if it's the same painting made a few times again, like a second, third, or tenth time. But all in all, from starting from 1 month.
Mm-hmm. The biggest one, the longest one, how much was it?
Я думаю, что «Тайное вечер», «The Last Supper».
The Last Supper took the most time, and it's by far the largest painting I've done.
I think that's the one that I've seen the most.
I remember the picture of you sitting in front of it. That's a great photo.
There's an interesting story regarding that painting, that the person who ordered the painting asked to not post it anywhere on the internet and not show it, not take pictures of the whole painting. So anytime I post it, it's only I hide one part with my own body, so the pictures with me, and there are all many angry people on the internet for commenting angry because they can't see the whole picture, but the contract says that I can't post the whole painting.
That's really interesting.
Interesting, yeah. Aaron, did you have any question?
Yes. So I noticed that you sell some of your work on Facebook. Is it more that you're selling the copies or that you are selling like specific commissions for people? From the story you've just told, I could kind of tell that you do sell some commissions, but like which are more commonly done for you?
Ну, я бы разделила свои заказы на три категории. Обычно это...
I divide my works into three categories. The first one is custom orders that people with their own ideas order.
А вторая категория – это когда люди хотят...
The second one are the copies, and I first talk to the people in the first category, are they okay with copying the works?
Ну, согласны на то, чтобы я могла продать, ну, авторскую копию их картины. И третья категория – это самые редкие, самые...
And the third category is...
У меня есть время...
My own ideas and my own works.
Но обычно в наличии.
But right now I don't have. My schedule is full and I don't have time for my original works.
Okay. So on that note, do you do this for like a living now? Is this what you do full time, or do you do other work as well as this?
Yes, this is my main job, and I don't have neither rich relatives nor husbands who help me, and I'm renting a large flat, and I have some people who help me, for example, with documents to ship paintings abroad because there are needed specific documents. Mm-hmm. And как там конец?
Я не помню.
Очень большие куски.
В общем, тяжело, когда есть регулярные платежи, а регулярной зарплаты нет.
It's hard when there are regular payments, but you don't have that regular salary.
Yeah.
Another question I had is, what is the weirdest or strangest request that has been made to you? And are there any jobs that you have refused to do because of how strange they are?
One guy asked me to draw how Pepe cuts the throat in a shower room, and the throat of Hillary Clinton.
That's dark.
Wow. That's mental.
That sounds a bit psychotic. I can see why you turned that down.
Yeah, I would not have done business with that person.
I'm against depicting natural violence, against the depiction of violence. But if it's war, like Cossacks and Hussars or something like that, then it's okay. But if it's clearly lifelike depiction of violence, then it's no.
I understand. Giles, you are an artist.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have some questions for our guest.
I have one. It's related to Pepe's creator. Has he ever reached out to you, or do you think he's aware of your paintings?
He knows about my existence. A couple of years ago, he was subscribed to my Instagram. Some time ago, a publishing agency proposed to me to make an art book with Pepe illustrations, but we needed to have that guy's consent, but
Matt Fury.
Yeah. But he said no, so he just knows about my existence, and I'm okay with that.
There's another meme I mentioned quite a lot in other episodes, but it's a character called Gondola, and he appears in lots of artworks as well. It's a very art-centric meme. Perhaps I'll sort of send you some images of it, yeah, if you haven't heard of it.
In Russian-speaking communities, he's not really popular, so and he's not really used as a meme, so I'm not really familiar with him.
Okay.
1 month ago, the movie Feels Good Man was released, and that movie is about Pepe, the creation of Pepe becoming a meme. I haven't watched it yet, but like it was released almost a month ago. Do you go to see it, or do you want to see it, or do you not want to see it?
Я устала отвечать на этот вопрос.
I am actually tired of answering that question for all my friends, but I'll answer you. I know about that movie, and the creators of the movie even took an interview from me for that movie a year ago. But it didn't make to the final cut, and it's pretty sad because a whole filming crew came from Moscow, and I put on my brightest white shirt in my painting space, and it's a mistake to wear a white shirt where you paint, because the paint doesn't come off of the clothes. And I ruined my best white shirt for an interview that didn't even make to the final cut.
That's so disappointing.
Yeah, that sucks. There's probably another question that's been asked to you a lot, but do you want to continue doing Pepes like this for a long time, or sometimes do you want like to change to do something different?
Хороший вопрос. Я задаю его себе.
That's a really good question. The question I ask myself every week, certainly. I'm sure I want to continue painting Pepes, but I can't see myself at 50 years old painting Pepes still. Right now I'm trying out painting Dota 2 characters. They have connections to different folklores and mythologies. That's interesting.
Мифологический бэкграунд. Я интересуюсь мифологией разных.
And I also want to paint my friends.
Меня интересует обнаженные.
Paint my friends in a nude way.
Oh. Your nude friends, but with the head of Pepe.
I find life drawing can be quite, and life painting in general can be quite a calming activity. I've done a little bit myself, and I've noticed looking through your page that you have quite a few of them, as well as some still lives of what I think are mushrooms. I've noticed a few posts about mushrooms. In fact, are mushrooms something you quite enjoy going out for?
When I was little, oftentimes I went with my grandfather to forage mushrooms. But after moving to St. Petersburg, I didn't have any friends with cars, so I couldn't go to a forest to gather mushrooms. But after a while, recently, I started again going to the forest because I found people with cars. I gather mushrooms. Gather mushrooms in the winter. That's a thing not many people know about winter mushrooms, and it's a great hobby.
Oh yeah. I can really relate to that because I grew up for the most part in the southwest of France, really lost in the countryside. I grew up between a farm, another farm, and nothing. It's very, very popular in that region to go foraging for mushrooms. It's one of the biggest activities that people in the southwest countryside do. It's interesting that's also in different countries like this. I noticed earlier when you were talking about how you develop your technique and how you practice, that the Russian word for still life is very similar to the French word, which is nature morte, and it sounds very similar. It means dead nature, because usually it's like flowers in a vase or fruits in a basket. So it's not like a landscape. It's not living things. It's I find it interesting that the English is more like soft, like still life. It's a little more metaphoric, when in French it's more like we tell things like they are. But foraging for mushrooms is like it's great activity in the southwest of France. There's like three big things. It's mushrooms, snails, and I forgot the English word. The big nuts.
Oh, I got
big nuts.
Каштаны.
Yes!
Okay, stop the podcast. Here's a little bit of an explanation straight from the editing room. The English word is chestnut. You hear me saying yes just after Olga said kashtane. In the confusion of the moment, I did not realize she was speaking Russian and I thought she said the Latin word, castania. I'm a bit surprised that the Russian word is so close to the Latin one, but here's what's going on. Back to the show now.
Yes, that's it. Do you have those as well? Or is it like just the mushrooms?
I guess only in the south of Russia.
Is that a euphemism? I can't tell.
We have people in Australia that go foraging for mushrooms, but they tend to be a different kind. They're a very specific kind of mushroom that people here go searching for.
Yeah, I think that's an international thing.
Yeah. We have those here as well.
I think they have those everywhere, don't they?
Yeah.
Memes and drugs are the two international languages of the world.
The most popular here is called cep. I think in English it's like funghi porcini, which is the copy of the Italian word.
Yeah, we call them white mushrooms. That's all.
The Latin name is boletus.
Yeah.
Controversial, but I think mushrooms suck and I hate them.
Really?
Wow.
I think they're horrible. They're so bad. They ruin any dish they're in. And if you're eating some meat and you chomp into a mushroom, you're like, oh, wow, what a horrible flavor and horrible consistency. Plus, I just ate a fungus. Like, you've got to live with that, too.
Wow.
Aren't you from Australia? Marmite and Vegemite, isn't that a fungus?
It's yeast, yeah, but it's different.
It's still a fungus.
Yes.
Yes, but I'm a Vegemite kid, not a mushroom kid, okay?
Ah, I love mushrooms. Omelette with mushrooms in it, with a little bit of cheese or maybe some chives. It's so good.
Interesting.
Genuinely really one of my most hated foods. Have you considered that omelette would be 1,000 times better if you picked the mushrooms out?
Nah, I really love mushrooms. Or like with potatoes, you know, potatoes, onions, and mushrooms. It's such a good tire combination. It's like mushrooms is like one of it's like the symbol of autumn, because you can find mushrooms all year round, but like there's like an explosion of mushrooms in September, October.
It's the perfect weather for it.
Yeah, when it starts to be a little cold, humid, that's when there's mushrooms everywhere. It's like mushroom season. For me, mushroom is like one of the big symbols of autumn, with you know, blackberry and grapes and apples. So many times I've done like sauteed apples with mushrooms. Aww. And like with a little black pudding. It's like that's autumn for me. Mushroom and autumn. That yeah.
I feel there's like different mushrooms that are suitable for different things, and I'm very 50-50 on mushrooms because some of them just have weird textures, but some of them go perfectly with certain things. This local pizzeria I go to sometimes has like a selection of wild mushrooms that they put on their pizza, and it's better than just, you know, standard regular mushrooms. I never really used to like them, but I guess excuse the accidental pun, but they've grown on me a bit.
Terrible. I actually saw on a Facebook group I'm in, somewhere in Europe, which is not very specific, they grow these like mushrooms honestly like the size of your head, and you can cut them, and there's places that use these slices of mushrooms as like pizza bases, and you can make the pizza on top of them.
Oh yeah.
I don't know, I'd never seen that in my life, but
Portobello mushrooms. I've done this, like you take the mushrooms, you remove the foot, like the, you know, and the just the cap, and then you put inside the cap, you put like goat cheese and maybe like a bit of herbs or spices. You put in the oven for a few minutes, and it's like it's perfect.
Is it like crunchy like a pizza crust?
No, it's pretty smooth, and yeah, I love it. It's like just mushroom and cheese, well, maybe herbs, maybe spices, and it's perfect.
Anything can be a pizza base if you wish hard enough.
Oh yeah. One time I weaved bacon slices into a weave, kind of like you make a basket, and that was the crust.
Epic mealtime.
Oh yeah. I've done it a lot of times.
Do any of you guys know about the beauty that is a cob loaf?
Oh, it's like a pie, right?
A cob loaf is where you get like a big hunk of bread, and you take all the bread out, so you've just got the crispy outside.
And it's like a bread bowl.
Oh
yeah, but you fill it with like
melted like a white sauce with like melted cheese, bits of bacon and like some herbs, some garlic. And then what you do is you get all the bread that you took out of it and you toast it, and you get those bits of bread and you dip it into the cob loaf and get all the sauce and stuff on it.
Nice.
Cob loaves, I'm pretty sure they're an Australian staple, and maybe they exist elsewhere under a different name.
I've never had that.
Absolutely divine. And they just, if you're at any party, they just make the party when you see a cob loaf coming around. Honestly.
It's a Queensland thing, maybe.
I'm going to try this soon. So, Olga, you mentioned that you painted characters from Dota 2, the video game from Valve. Do you play a lot of video games?
На самом деле нет, я почти не играла никогда.
I haven't really played a lot of video games, but I have two younger brothers who play, and a lot of friends who play, and I wanted to see. I was really interested in that, and I wanted to see what Dota 2 looks like from the other side.
Okay, because I was thinking with the mushrooms, I was thinking like Toad from Mario Kart, maybe. Do you watch a lot of TV shows?
No, I don't. I don't have a TV, and then I try to spend as little time at the computer as possible. But what I wanted to say to continue is that I try to combine the highbrow and the lowbrow.
Oh, yes.
Lowbrow being internet memes and internet culture in itself, and the highbrow is paintings from masters, and I try to implement it in everything I do. I really like that I can make the virtual real. And all this lowbrow kids easygoing hobbies and interests like memes and computer games, I can make it adult and highbrow and serious. And through that painting, adult and serious painting, you can make your not serious kids' hobbies that are frowned upon, you can make them serious, and you can validate it by putting up your oil painting on the wall. Yeah,
That's very interesting, because lately there's been so much debate, like, video games, are they art or not? I hear this, I've been hearing people debating around this for a lot of years now, it's interesting how you can, like, mix something, like, that is really silly and funny, but, like, put it with good aesthetics. And it's a great combination, in my opinion.
And I think even without meaning to, you've created almost a wonderful little slap in the face for everyone that says, you know, painting isn't a serious job, or even you can't make a living with the internet. And you've combined two things. You combined painting and you've combined Pepe the Frog, like taking memes, and, you know, created something completely unique and completely beautiful that a lot of people are very interested in, and you're making money from it. And I think you've created this wonderful niche market that a lot of people would probably, or older people would say, that wasn't even possible. And I honestly think you're forging the way for a lot of other artists or people with very niche ideas as well. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and it's really interesting that people who have a good technique in painting, they don't really know anything about the modern memes, and the people who are really into memes and know a lot about them don't really have a good painting technique. So I'm on the border of these two worlds.
Yeah, I'm trying to give that a go.
Yeah, me too. That's what I've been doing for my merch store. Like, I put like complete stupid memes, and then I try to make I work hours to make it look really good. And I really like the result. I really like this kind of combination.
Mm.
The previous guest that we had was Rudy Ayoub, and it's kind of the same thing. He's a really good musician, really talented guitarist, but he makes this video where he's just talking about memes and just being funny while at the same time being really good at guitar. And it's the same kind of blend, you know? And it's something that I really appreciate. I think it's really an underrated culture, that mix.
Those classic paintings, they are timeless and they are beautiful. But I think, you know, we're bringing them into the new generation with us. Instead of leaving them behind, we're bringing that art and that culture with us, but putting the stamp of the younger generation and a group of people who have grown up with the internet or been heavily influenced by the internet, and marrying these things and almost freshening them up, you know, making them new again. And I think that's what you're doing, is people are appreciating The Last Supper or something like that a lot more, because it's been turned into something a little bit funny, and you've brought it into a light and brought it into an audience of people who might not necessarily have much exposure to classical art otherwise.
Oh. I had an idea to make an exhibition of the history of art from ancient Egypt through Byzantium to Christianity and the Renaissance, and sell that, and to do this all using Pepe. And I think many children who would visit such an exhibition, it would be really popular, and they would be really interesting, and they could get acquainted with the history of art through memes.
That's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
I would pay to see that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, same. Yeah, I think, like, for example, you could start, like, with something, like, you said ancient Egypt, so, like, all these Egyptian gods, but instead of the animal heads, it's, like, the head of Pepe and, like, Doge and, you know?
That's interesting. In Egypt's pantheon, there was a god with a head of a frog.
Yeah.
It was called something like Kek.
Kek, right?
Kek, yes.
And there's a lot of meme magic that's related to this also.
Yeah. I remember that was really big, like in 2016 especially. I remember that's a great segue into my next question. Were you already interested in art and painting before you started drawing and painting yourself, or is it something that you picked up while you were practicing?
When I was little, my mother always scolded me that my drawings were really bad, so I didn't even have the idea that one day I could become an artist.
Oh, that's a bit sad.
That's not that sad, because she became an artist anyway.
Yeah, she overcame the odds, so. Which is amazing. It's just
happy ending.
Hard work has paid off.
Yeah. It definitely has. I mean, happy ending. I don't like hearing that somebody was told that they were bad.
But it's not even an ending. I mean, she's still young.
It's still going.
Did you like going to museums or looking at paintings, or was it a big part of your life?
Сейчас я сформулирую. Я не люблю ходить в музей.
I don't like going to museums, and I don't like reading about authors' biographies. And I'm not really interested in that, but I'm interested in the technical part of the paintings. I like to touch them, to scratch them, to see all the layers. In that way, I'm maybe dry. Not interested in
the theory?
Yeah, the theory, maybe more like the meaning.
Mm. Yeah, okay, I see. So I suppose you don't have a favorite painting or a favorite like era or favorite painter?
Мне нравится Эгон Шиле.
I like Egon Schiele, but not for how skillful he is or how good he is at painting, but because of his style and what subjects he chooses to portray. But probably I treat all artists equally, because everyone has something that is worth stealing.
Yes.
Would you say you can even considered yourself, though, a creative person before painting? Obviously, art takes many forms. Were you a writer or a singer or a poet or anything like that? Would you say you were the creative type before this all began?
Все детство я занималась музыкой.
All my childhood I studied music, piano for 10 years.
Oh,
also, I played in brass bands and I played on drums. Also, I'm really interested in jazz and blues music, but there's it's not teached a lot in Russia. And I still have 2 lessons a week with a music teacher.
Oh, still today?
Yes.
Oh,
excellent.
I don't pay him. Because I don't pay him with money, because we decided that I will pay him with my painting.
Oh like
so Van Gogh. Cool.
It's me jazz harmony and chords. Nice. And I will give him a painting to New Year.
That's so cool.
I like the idea of trading skills with one another instead of paying for things the standard way, because I believe, you know, everyone does have a thing that they...
And you know, I'm still looking for French teachers, Hebrew teachers, and Italian paintings.
I hope you find some good ones. You are interested in languages also?
I'm thinking about entering some European art academy or kind of this. So I think that it would be Italy or France.
That's, yeah, that's really cool.
What advice do you...
What?
I was just going to ask, what advice do you think she would give to young people who are sort of wanting to become artists and oh, as yeah. somebody who's out the other side and is making art that people are aware of and people love and, you know, people are buying your art? What advice would you give to people who are trying to get where you are?
First of all, do not expect high results right away. In the first 6 months, it's really difficult. You have to work a lot, but not expect that you will succeed fast. Be ready for the fact that for the first 6 months of your work, you will get a zero improvement in your skill.
You must be very dedicated then to go through the stages of failure and of getting better and of the frustration to not see improvement for those 6 months. You must be... really quite dedicated to your craft and have a lot of patience too. I would say it takes a lot of patience and a lot of dedication.
It's not really about only patience, but it's also about being interested. Many people, they want to be artists, painters, but they don't like to draw or paint, and that's the main problem.
Yeah.
You have to want to be able to put the work in.
Yeah. I've been learning to paint as of late, and a part of it is also trying not to fall into bad habits while painting. You need to sort of be able to monitor what you're doing and just like continuously improve tiny little techniques here and there. It's patience is part of it, but yeah, attention is really important as well.
Yeah, and the consistency, like you gotta, I remember a quote, I don't exactly remember who said it, I think maybe it was Stephen King or someone like this, but someone asked, like a famous author, how to become a writer, how to be a good writer, and the answer was just, write every day, and it's like, yeah, it's about consistency, you have to do it every day, and you have to, it's not necessarily that you have to think long term, but you have to keep going and just don't stop. I don't want to answer in the guest stead, but when I went freelance myself, I made zero money for 1 year and a half.
Bloody hell.
It took me almost 2 years to start making money. So another advice that I would say is don't quit your job. Just wait.
Don't quit your day job.
Yeah. Practice whatever you want to do, painting or music or even cooking when you're home at night or on the weekends. But like, don't quit your job because it can take a lot of time. It's not a linear progression. It's more like steps. It's like nothing for a really long time. And suddenly, maybe someone discovers you. Maybe there's like something that is really important is also word of mouth. Like people will talk to each other and give, you know, and nowadays it's very easy for something small to become suddenly huge because of like Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, etc. These tools are made for people to be discovered. But of course, the other side is that there's a lot of people who are trying to make it at the same time. So set yourself apart from the crowd and make yourself remarkable. It's not an easy thing. And personally, I think that the best way to make it, to make yourself truly, maybe not unique, but you know, remarkable, is just to be yourself, to do what you really want to do. You know, don't try to do something that people will like. Do what you like and what you really want to make. And that's how it works.
Yeah. No, definitely I agree with that.
Inspirational.
You play piano. You've been learning piano for 10 years. That's awesome. Is music something that's important for you? Maybe even more important than painting?
Раньше... Я очень много времени музицировала.
I used to invite my friends to a little impromptu concert, sing a song right there, to try to pick it up by hearing. But right now my life has a lot of less music because I don't drink as I used to, and I don't know what to do. Maybe I should start drinking again.
Same.
Yeah, same.
I feel that. Yeah.
I actually had a bit of a question about how you prepare to do your art. Do you have like a ritual or a thing that you go through before you get ready to paint a piece? Do you have anything like that?
I need like 2, 3, 4 days to start my work because I need to choose the size of the frame and then to stretch the canvas. And then to put several layers of glue or gelatin or kind of this, to waiting for drying up the every layer, and then to put 1 or 2 or 3 layers of the ground, and only after all this action I can start my work.
Oh,
wow!
It reminds me of what you said earlier about having like something that almost that has to be touched. You know, the texture of the painting. It's almost like half painting and half sculpture.
I like seeing the different, like when people paint with certain paints, I really like seeing the thickness of some of the paints and seeing the brush strokes and the textures going over different things. I always really appreciated that about when it comes to paintings, at least.
There's a big frame in my bedroom actually that I got from an op shop. It's got that really thick acrylic paint that people have put on in swipes for texture, and I really like that about it. I bought it because of that. It's got these like beautiful big swipes of this acrylic paint that's like dried in these patches, and it just adds a layer of texture to the whole art piece. And I think that it's an extra dimension that does get overlooked, but it is absolutely important.
I think it's a nice touch.
Yeah, I kind of have the impression that it's becoming trendy. There's a lot of artists nowadays that don't use physical canvases and paint, but like do painting like in Photoshop, for example, or a software like this. And recently I saw a lot of them doing like fake brush strokes, imitating the shape of a brush stroke like in Photoshop and stuff like this. I see it more and more recently, and also I've seen a store that sells, well, it's not exactly paintings, it's not exactly posters either. It's a piece of fabric. It's kind of like a tapestry, really. And they make like small numbers, and the artist who designed it, they take like paint and they put brushes of thick paint on it so that each piece is unique. That's why they make small numbers. I think it's a really interesting concept.
I have this too. So if you can't buy a painting because it is the price is too high,
yeah,
you can order a copy, but it will be a unique copy on canvas, and I will put some touches of oil painting by my hand. So it's kind of unique, and it's not unique, but it's a print and you can afford it. So yes, I've started to do the same too.
Ah, it's great.
It's not really popular because I've just started to do it, but I think it would be popular. I hope so.
Yeah.
And usually when you watch the painting, you're not standing face to face to it. So you're watching it from like 2-3 meters and it looks like a real painting sometimes.
Oh, nice.
So would you say that you owe your success to Pepe? Could we say that? That your career is thanks to Pepe the Frog?
I can thank Pepe the Frog because I have something to eat, somewhere to live.
Maybe he won't be so sad anymore.
It's about that I can make living with it.
Well, I'm sure he's very happy to hear that. Maybe he won't be so sad all the time anymore, hearing that he's improved your life this way, I think. That's lovely if you can provide that for someone, a roof over their head, something to eat. And if it's something as abstract as Pepe the Frog, then honestly, that just makes you more interesting.
I know what he would say if he could see this. He would say, "Feels good, man."
I have a question. What's the most Russian story you have, or like Russian experience you've had?
And does it involve bears?
Я на русском расскажу. В России.
In Russia, I have very few sales, and people really few people know me about me, and I receive a lot of hate from people in Russia. They write stuff like that I'm stupid and can't come up with my own ideas, and just ruin the masterpieces and everything in that spirit.
That's not very nice.
And doesn't sound like a particular positive experience.
Personally, I think that's a good sign. When you have haters, it means that you're starting to really make it. Because at first, when you start...
I think Eminem said that.
Many people said that, I'm sure. Because at first, you know, you're only doing things like for yourself, you're practicing, you only... Whether you're doing painting or music or whatever, usually it's just you in your room or whatever. And after a while, when you start being like more comfortable, you show it like to your friends and to your family, and they all say, "Oh, it's great. Oh, it's beautiful." And then you start like maybe putting it on like on the internet or thing like this, and people start like discovering you. And at first it's just a few fans because other people are not interested, and so everyone's saying it's great. But then when you start becoming really popular, that's when you start having haters, you know? And that's a sign that you're getting big, in my opinion. That's a good sign.
True.
Ну я могу сказать, что вот я живу в Петербурге.
I'm living in St. Petersburg, and there's the Academy of Arts in St. Petersburg, and there are a lot of artists of really high level. Almost all of them are better than me. At the same time, they live in poverty. They have nobody orders anything from them, and of course, many people see my paintings and say mean-spirited stuff like my grandma draws better than you, my dog draws better than you. I don't understand why people buy the stuff and all that.
When you said there's other painters from the academy that are better than you, I suppose you're talking like in terms of technique, purely academic skills, but that's not what matters the most. Like, I think we all know someone who's like really good at something. I know a few guys who are like really good at guitar. They can play really fast, they can play a lot of stuff, solos from all the most popular bands, but when you see them playing, it's just, it's boring. They have the technique, they have the technicality, but
it's a lifelessness, like it's
like a still life. It's what is important is not really your technique, it's really what you can elicit inside other people. And sometimes it's laughter, which is a good example here, since Pepe is like a funny meme. It's also the sadness, like it's the sad frog, or it could be just weird, like the strangeness of having this internet meme mixed with classic paintings. I think it works on a lot of levels, and these people are not necessarily better than you. Like, maybe they're better at drawing, maybe they have better technique, but what really is it to be a good artist is just to really do your it's just do your thing and make people feel things. And even if it's just laughter, even if you just make them laugh or smile, it's already huge, it's already very important. And maybe these guys who are living in poverty, they cannot do this. or maybe they're just unfortunate because they haven't found a good patron, or nobody discovered them yet. But yeah, pure skill is not what really matters.
You can't also be the most objective judge of your own art and comparing it to others' skill, given that no matter who you are, you're your own biggest critic, and you're going to feel like these other people are better artists, and they might be looking at what you've done and think to themselves, oh, I wish I was brave enough to do something like that, you know? And I think, yeah, like there's more to art than just colouring between the lines, and I think boldness and braveness and emotion, especially, like, again, if you've just made someone laugh, then you've done something to brighten their day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's really important and really incredible, and I don't know if you can even objectively say that they are or aren't better than you, because they might be looking at your stuff and wishing that they were in your shoes.
Yeah. Of course, I'm not saying that technique is not important. Technique and skill is something that you should build. It's like if you're building a house, the technique and the skill like would be the foundations. And then when you've got the technique and skills, that is a good foundation, then you can build a house, the walls,
the interior decorating, the color palette,
the architecture.
Yeah.
I live in a caravan, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
I presume your caravan has walls.
Yeah.
Where we're going, we don't need walls.
Listen, mate, your caravan's what you make of it.
I live in a cave, so I don't give a shit about this.
I live on a farm, so that's worse than all of you.
I live in a society.
Don't we all get a load of this society?
Oh, Olga, do you see the movie Joker? I remember a lot of people who like Pepe also like this movie, so maybe you saw it from last year.
I have Pepe Jokers.
Oh, yeah, I remember now. I've seen them. They're great.
I've seen these.
Only one of them is sold out, and another two are available, yes.
Hell yeah.
So you like the movie?
I'm not sure that I really, really like it, but it's not bad. For, you know, some comics movie, it's okay.
Personally, I did not like it. I thought it was really contrived and predictable, but I like the aesthetics.
How they made it, yes.
Yeah. Especially like when he's in a vehicle, the metro or a bus or a car, and you see things around him and there's like the camera who comes closer or further. I thought it looked quite nice, and I think the film has a good aesthetic.
And that's all, yes.
I've seen in a few photos that this little pug dog.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your dog?
Yes, I have now 3 cats and 1 dog.
Follow-up question, can I please cuddle them?
A dog is a good reason for me to go out, because usually I'm living at home and working at home and painting at home, and you know, you can order the delivery, so now I have a dog and I have to go out to the street to walk him.
Yeah.
What's his name?
His name is Dobby, like from Harry Potter.
Oh,
okay.
the elf. Dobby. Like the elf, yeah.
Dobby, yeah.
The house elf.
And you throw a sock at him.
Master has given Dobby a sock.
Dobby is a free elf.
You like Harry Potter? You're into that?
Yes, I think it is too my favorite book.
Oh, yes.
Russian literature is too depressive, so I enjoy reading Harry Potter.
Yeah. The scenes that I think are written the best are the fight scenes, when Dumbledore and Voldemort face off in the Order of the Phoenix, and the way that that's written is absolute poetry. It's just such good writing. I love Harry Potter.
When you read the books, I'm guessing they've been translated into Russian.
We have 2 popular versions of translation, but one of them is very unpopular. I don't know how to explain. So it's names of the characters were translated in a strange way, in a very strange way, and people hate it. And another version is a common and the most popular, and people like it. And now I have my English lessons too, and we read Harry Potter and on our lessons, yes.
I have a question nice. About the Russian translation then. In the second book, you know, Voldemort gets his name and says Tom Marvolo Riddle, and it like rearranges into I am Lord Voldemort. So do they keep that the same, or do they have to change his name into
the same? Yes,
because I know in some translations in different countries they have to change Tom's name to make it work. It's a nightmare for translation.
Almost the same.
They keep it the same.
They call it like this.
In the French translation, they completely changed almost all the names. Sometimes there's a good reason, but sometimes it makes no sense, I think. They had to change the name of... What's his name in English? Tom Riddle, that's it.
Yeah, Tom Marvolo Riddle.
In French, he's called Elvis.
I had heard that. That's what I was referring to. They made it Elvis, and I think they had to do that to make the letter scramble work.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, the anagram. I hate anagrams. I don't know why. It's something I really dislike anagrams. I find them annoying.
She thought she did something really clever there. But you know, I am Lord Voldemort also anagrams to Mr. Tom a dildo lover, and I think she really missed an opportunity.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
That could have been one of the Horcruxes later on.
I know, right?
A dildo.
Yeah, but actually J.K. Rowling commented on this when 50 Shades of Grey became really popular. She said on Twitter, like, damn, I could have made even more money if Harry had been more creative with his wand.
Ooh.
She needs someone to take Twitter away from her.
She's way past this.
Yeah.
She needs someone in the time machine to remove Twitter from her several years ago.
Even if she stops now, she will never ever remove the stain, like, from her reputation.
It's not just a one-time thing. This is many, many times.
Repeat it.
It happens a lot to a lot of British celebrities. I remember one that was absolutely terrible on Twitter as well was, like, the guy who created the IT Crowd. I was very surprised.
Graham Linehan.
Yeah, what a piece of shit this guy is. What an asshole.
Yeah, it's a pity.
It's crazy because the show is so funny and so good. It's why they say, like, never meet your heroes. Like, sometimes you see someone's work, whether they're a musician or a writer or whatever, and you imagine how they are based on the work, and often it's like completely different. It's like, no, that's not what I imagine at all, and it would have been better if I didn't learn about that person's private life.
And that's what's so crazy about who J.K. Rowling's turned out to be, because all of Harry Potter is about, like, love wins and, like, Harry being friends with, like, the misfits, and they turn out to be the truest heroes, you know? Neville being able to pull the sword of Gryffindor from the sorting hat, and, like, Luna Lovegood, like, being so important, and she was this person on the fringes of society, these outcast people who were the most important, and how love trumps evil, like, always, and it, like, the whole message is just to love. That's the most powerful weapon you have. And yet she's like, lol jokes, I actually hate an entire group of people, like, so much that I'm gonna write a new novel and the protagonist is gonna be a cis man who puts on dresses to kill women, and that's how I feel about the topic. And you're like, whoa, no one asked. like stop talking, for the love of God.
Yeah, that's insane.
Very topical.
There's a lot of, like, motherly love. Harry's mom died while she was protecting him, and that's why made him special. The Weasley mother has a lot of important moments. And even, like, near the end, the Malfoy, the mom of Draco, who lies just to save her son, because for her son is more important than Voldemort and all that shit. I think it's a really interesting recurring theme in her works.
When we look back, there's obviously problematic sections too. You've got the werewolf thing being an allegory for HIV, and wizard goblins being Jewish caricatures.
I love that. I think that's perfect.
The one Asian character whose name is Cho Chang.
Oh no, there's also Parvati Patil and Padma, her sister.
No, but they're not, she's not, they're Indian.
Yeah, India is in Asia, dude.
Oh, true. All right then. Fuck me, I guess. It's a very different culture though. She fucked that up too. The outfits that those two girls wore, Padma and Parvati Patil, to the Yule Ball, and actual Indian women have spoken out and said that's the most god-awful fucking hideous thing in the whole world. They clearly never, ever, ever spoke to any Indian people before they designed this costume. It was just a bunch of white people who'd never actually had any experience with it and were like, we think this is probably what they wear, right? And they were like, yeah, no, that seems right, and just put them on screen. Everyone who's actually Indian was like,
No, no, that's not how that works.
To be fair, Ron Weasley wore shitty clothes as well.
Yeah.
He looked like a scarecrow.
He was poor. That was their whole thing. Actually, like, the two characters that need the most justice because of the film assassination of them was Ron and Ginny Weasley. Like, Ron was such a better friend to Harry and Hermione in the books, and Ginny was just the best character. She just had so much pizzazz and sass and spice and humor, and like was basically the female version of Fred and George, and then in the film they just made her a brick. Like, she's just a brick.
It's kind of like a normal thing to simplify things, like in the movie you cannot have everything that is in the book, but it's also true that they removed things that I thought were kind of important. For example, there's, I think it's at the beginning of the fifth, there was a moment where Dudley and Harry have kind of like a
friend moment. The Dudley's redemption thing, yes.
I think Dudley tells him, like, I don't think you're a waste of space or something like that.
Yeah, and he shakes his hand.
Yeah, I think it was really weird that they took this out of the movie. Or a thing that made me really laugh, when Harry stands up against Umbridge and then he has to go in the McGonagall's office, and she's like, so you had an issue with Dolores Umbridge?
Yeah.
You called her a liar. Have a cookie.
Have a biscuit. I love that so much. She's like, you called her a waste of space. You called her a liar. Yes, Professor. Have a biscuit.
There's like a huge thing that I feel they missed from the movies. I wouldn't say he's like the most important character in the book, but he drove a lot of events that happened, and that was the character Peeves.
Oh, Peeves the poltergeist.
Yeah, the ghost.
Yeah.
The late Rick Mile was supposed to play Peeves in the movie. They ended up cutting his part from the first film, and he never like returned for any of the other ones, which I think was a huge missed opportunity because Rick Mile's a very funny man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Peeves appears in every single book.
Yeah.
The ghosts are important in Hogwarts, and they're funny as well.
Yeah, we don't even get the presence of the Bloody Baron, like, he's referenced, because we find out his backstory and everything too, and we don't really get to touch on that much at all with the Grey Lady and the Bloody Baron. The ghosts are important, and I think Peeves should have been in the film, not just because he's funny, but, like, he drove a lot of events, you know?
Yeah.
They removed a lot of funny or touching moments or like depth from the characters just to put like more action into the movies, and in my opinion that made the movies kind of boring, especially compared to the books. Like, they look nice, the movies, they have good visuals, they have good aesthetics, but they're, compared to the books, they're a bit boring in my opinion.
Yeah, I think they are too. That's your,
I didn't read the books.
What?
We found the one person on the world who did not read Harry Potter.
Boo! Boo!
There's another bit that they missed out that I reckon would have been perfect for comedy potential. I've just shared a picture of a snippet. There's a bit when Harry's got like a book, and I think it used to belong to Ronald Weasley, and it's like,
yes, I love that.
It's like,
part.
Why does it have a Runel Wesley on it?
That's my nickname. That's such a great dumb teenage boy excuse too. Olga, what are your thoughts on the Harry Potter book to film adaptations?
Now I feel like I'm on my English lesson and we're discussing Harry Potter again.
Hard segues, eh?
It was as unsubtle as the characterization of the characters in the movie.
Perfect. I don't think I had to try for subtle. I think we all knew, and anyone listening knows, that we got way off topic and then thought, oops, shit, the meaning of this interview, and just grabbed anything we could to get it back on track. How do you think the Wizarding World would be changed if Pepe the Frog was in it?
Yes.
Yes, important. And where do you think he would sit in the line of magical creatures?
Which house would Pepe be in?
Would it be like a talking painting?
Oh.
Imagine Hogwarts, but all the walls are full of Olga's paintings and they all talk and they all just say dumb meme shit.
If you had to replace one Harry Potter character with Pepe, which one and why?
I think Voldemort.
Okay, that's surprising.
Bad guy, you know, without nose, all this stuff.
Oh.
Almost the same, but with some more colors.
Yeah, green.
Does Pepe have the exact same backstory? It's just Pepe the Frog.
Instead of the snake, Nagaina, you have a frog.
Nice.
Okay,
is he human sized? Is he as tall as Harry? Is he taller and looking down at him? Is that more terrifying, a giant Pepe the Frog?
Jesus.
Sounds good.
Does Pepe have a wand, or does he have like his own magic like house elves?
It's like a tongue, like the, you know, like these frogs who have this really long tongue.
Yeah, he just does like tongue stuff and it casts spells. That'd be cool.
That's actually the porn remake.
Don't forget that Neville had a toad. And maybe yes. Instead of the rat, who was not a real rat, but...
Yes. Yeah, get rid of that bastard. Peter Pettigrew.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe Peter Pettigrew could be a toad.
He deserves it. He's got the personality of a toad.
Yeah, instead of the toad who turns into a prince, it's the toad who turns into an asshole.
Oh, yes. That's amazing.
Yeah, Giles, thank you. That's great.
Amazing.
Aaron, you have to put this...
That is going on the Instagram. Yeah, definitely.
Exactly what... Yeah, exactly. So, Olga, you learn piano for a long time. You play a lot of piano. Which are your favorite musicians? Do you listen to a lot of music?
Right now, no. But my favorite was Shostakovich, of course. And Johann Sebastian Bach. It is a classic place for every pianist. I prefer, you know, some folklore music, like some gypsy music, some blues, like not blues from the stage, like real blues. And I think that's all now.
I think I prefer some
historical lectures, because I paid for several hours, and several hours of music is too much for me. Mm-hmm. And listening to some historical stories, lectures is always interesting.
I do the same recently. I listen to music sometimes, but like when I go on these long walks, I love walking. A lot of the time when I'm walking, I'm listening to podcasts rather than music. Because I was thinking of this, like these paintings that you make, obviously there, a lot of them are large and they obviously take a lot of time to make. So I was wondering how you do it, like if you listen to music while you're painting, or if you're listening to historical lectures, and do your dog and cat sometimes participate in the process?
Yes, sometimes when I put the painting like near the wall, you know, and it is not dry, and put a big, I don't know, like projector, because it is... it helps the painting to dry up.
Yes.
Because of the warm... And my dog really enjoyed to sit on the painting, which is not dried up. His and then he has a like blue, red, yellow, green S under his tail. Sometimes he just eats the paint and I have nice colored poops.
I love dogs. Aaron, Giles, Stephanie, did you have any other questions you wanted to ask our guest? Something specific?
Everything that I wanted to cover has already either been asked by myself or someone else, so things have been thorough.
Great.
Yeah, I think I've pretty much covered everything I wanted to cover and more. Very sorry about the tangent we went on there.
No, it's fine. And the G-Man?
Keep at it. I like where it could all go.
Yeah, you're doing great work, and I think we're all fans. I've been a fan of your paintings for a long time, and I think that, like, for Christmas, there's one that I really love, the one with the monk who's drinking wine with the wine glass in his hand.
Oh.
And I think it's so good.
You know, they have two monks.
Yeah, so I was hesitating between them. My birthday is on the 24th of December. It's a bit difficult because you have everything at the same time, but I may ask as a gift for one of these, because I really love those monks. The original painting is already great, but like your version is even better in my opinion. I love what you've done with them. Was there something that we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about? Something that you want to say?
Entering the art academy in Russia, it is very complicated. So I decided to take a preparation course, and soon, I guess on the 1st of October, I will show them my like classical non Pepe works, and I hope they will take me and I will pay them. So it's not to pay them, they choose their students, you know?
Yeah.
Even if they, you pay them. And if they choose me, I'll have to paint and to draw there, like a zero course, 5 days a week, and then go back home and do my paintings, my paper paintings. Also, I do music lessons, just harmony lessons. Also, I have English lessons. Also, I have, do you know Russian sambo? It's a kind of grappling and a little bit judo, a little bit of everything.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool.
Yes, and like 6 hours in a week I have my sports, and I hope I will have time for all of this.
Yeah, it's hard.
Good luck.
I love sports. What sports do you do apart from the
wrestling? I don't know how to translate it. It's like kind of Soviet Russian, Russian Soviet kind of martial arts.
Okay, I see. Yeah, martial arts.
They have very ugly costume, but I like it.
Yeah. I did judo for a few years when I was a kid. I really liked it as well.
Elements from judo too.
Yeah.
And I'm the only girl in the group.
Oh.
And yes, it is very interesting because we have a lot of guys, and some of them are 14 years old, and some of them 34 years old, and also our trainer. He has only one hand, and when he explains how to do some, you know, elements, it's very funny, and we have a lot of jokes about this.
Nice.
And we have everything, all exercises, we start from only the left hand, and only then from the right.
So, first, thanks, audience, for listening to us. It's like super important, and without you, you know, we wouldn't exist. So really, if you enjoy the show, go like on iTunes and rate 5 stars, and if you can even leave a review, that's great. Or wherever, like we're all, of course, on Spotify, Google Podcasts, etc. There's a lot of places where you can listen to us. If you like what we're doing, talk about it to your friends, to anyone who might be interested. Share it, like on Facebook or you know, Twitter or whatever. And
follow us on Instagram.
What?
Follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, follow us on Instagram. We have an Instagram now. The link, of course, is in the description. And yeah, thanks a lot for listening, and thanks a lot to my co-hosts Stephanie, Aaron, and Giles, and to Ilya, who helped with the translation.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you've done a great job, man.
Yeah, thank you.
And of course, thanks mostly to our guest, Olga, aka Pepe Langello. It was cool, it was fun. I'm glad you accepted the invitation. And I think that my words for the end will be, feels good, man.